You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Got 7 more weeks of that, Keith. 7 more weeks of that funky beat. He's grooving out over here. Well, we are on what you probably know is part two of a series called Wise Up. And this is called Wise Up Again. And the series Wise Up is based on the book of Proverbs. And we'll talk about why and what that is and what Proverbs are and what they mean and all of that. But this whole series is about wisdom. And I'm using today to set up where we're going to be going over the next 7 weeks and the next 3 weeks. Again, my vacation starts in approximately an hour and 45 minutes. And then the next 3 weeks, the elders, Chris and then Kirk and then Justin will be teaching the next 3 weeks while I am out. And they will be continuing this series. And then I'll roll back in August and we'll be teaching the rest of the series in August along with some help. Anyway, good, I got eye contact now. I learned something in Prime Group last week when we were leading our last session. I kind of sat in the corner. We had a full house in our house, and there was a lamp blocking the couch. And it was interesting because I couldn't make guilt eye contact with the people on the couch. They did not answer as much. So I've learned I need to have that guilt eye contact thing going on. So I just kind of look at you and you feel guilty and you feel like you're answering. Really good techniques. Anyway, I want to talk about wisdom and what is wisdom. And so I'm going to share perhaps what our culture would say, maybe culture, I don't know if that's the right word, but movies and TV characters that we would consider to be wise, or people would consider them to be wise. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to give you a quote, and if you think you know the answer, you can just kind of yell it out. And if Bill is answering every one of them, Bill, you have a four-answer limit. So then you have to stop answering because he probably knows all these. But I'm going to give you one quote, and it's kind of a quote of wisdom that you may know from that person, that character. And then I'm going to give you a second quote that most likely, if you didn't know who the first quote was from, you probably will for the second quote. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you a quote. If you know what it is, yell it out. I'll give you the second quote. If you know what it is, yell it out. And then eventually I'll give you the answer. We good? Yes? Oh, yeah, good, good. Make guilty eye contact? Okay. You're sleeping? No. So here's the first quote. Do or do not, there is no try. Okay, I heard an answer there. Here's a second quote from this person. Fear is the path to the dark side. And of course the answer is?
Yoda.
Right, Yoda. He is considered perhaps a wise person. All right, here's the second one. You are more than what you have become. Mufasa? All right, here's the second quote. Remember who you are, Simba. So yes, that was Mufasa from the original Lion King of the original, I don't know, we're on. And then if you don't even know, there wasn't there like a Lion King 2.5? I was actually talking to, it was Jack or Tommy, about direct-to-video, direct-to-VHS. And I don't know, if you're old enough to remember what direct-to-VHS was, it meant that don't ever watch it. If it went direct to VHS and didn't go into the theaters, you don't ever watch it because it's horrible. Anyway, so another quote we have here. Okay, the best way to bring folks together is to give them a real good enemy. This one is a very modern or a very old reference. Any thoughts? Okay, here's the second quote. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Yes. It is the Wizard of Oz. And if you don't know, that's the Wizard of Oz from Wicked. And that was his quote there. The best way to bring folks together is give them a real good enemy. Okay, another wise person. The thing to do is as follows. A little more obscure, maybe literature-based. Huh? Not McGonagall, no. Any other? Okay. Here's a second quote. Well, if it isn't Pooh Bear, anybody know? Who is considered wise? There we go, yeah. And he always starts, the thing to do is as follows, and of course everything he shares is always just not good information. And okay, so that's that one. The next one. First learn stand, then learn fly. First learn stand, then learn fly. Miyagi? Merlin? All right, here's the second quote. Wax on, wax off. All right, and that, of course, is Mr. Miyagi from the Karate Kid movies, the original Karate Kid movies. I'll share opinions later. Next quote. To the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. Dumbledore? Gandalf? All right, here's the next quote. It is our choices, Harry, that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities. And that, of course, is old Dumbledore, Professor Dumbledore, not young Dumbledore. Anyway, then the next one. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. Spock, okay, this could be an old reference or a new reference. Here's the second quote, just in case you weren't sure. Live long and prosper. And, of course, that is Spock. So either that Spock or that Spock. You can choose your Spock. And actually, they were both in the one movie together. Let's see. I have one more. All that we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. Gandalf. Okay, next quote. You shall not pass. Which, of course, is Gandalf. Right. From the Lord of the Rings books and etc. So those are all people that perhaps we consider to be wise. I mean, maybe, I don't know, like, of all those people, like, who would you, like, yell out maybe your favorite wise person of them on three. One, two, three. Someone just went, I heard that. All right, that makes you a wise guy. By the way, there's plenty more wisdom with the wise guys to come in the future, because we are so very, very wise. So this idea of what is wisdom, what does that mean? And a lot of times, you know, wisdom could be whatever those characters are. Another perhaps reference for wisdom would be someone that's just smart. Like, is it just being smart that makes someone wise? And there's a story about a smart guy. There were four people on a plane, and one was the pilot, one was a pastor, and then one was a teenager guy, and then another guy who had just been given the title of the smartest person in the world. So four people on this plane, and they're flying along in this little plane, and suddenly the pilot bursts out of the cockpit and says, "I've got bad news, and I've got worse news." And the pilot said, "The bad news is that the plane has a problem. We're going to crash." And he said, "The worst news is I only have three parachutes for the four of us." And the pilot says, "Like, look, I'm a young dad. I've got a wife and kids that are depending on me. You know, sorry, but I gotta go." So he takes the parachute, jumps out of the plane. And then the guy that was just named the smartest person in the world was there, and he was like, "Look, I don't know about you guys, but I am the smartest person in the world. And, you know, I could be the one that stops world hunger, or maybe I can cure cancer. Like, I am too important." So he grabs the next parachute and jumps out of the plane. And then the pastor is like, "Look, son, I've made my peace with God. I'm good. You've got a long life ahead of you. Why don't you take the last parachute and jump out of the plane?" And the teenage guy says, "Hey, it's all right, Pastor, because the smartest person in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack. So we're good." But yeah, is that what makes wisdom? Is it smarts? And we're going to see, perhaps as we go through the series and even a little bit today, that's part of it. Knowledge is part of it. But another thing that people often talk about is age, right? Does being old, does that make you wise? Am I wiser than some of you because I'm older? Because the hairs on my head are less as they're numbered by God? Does that make me wise? And age is kind of one of those things. Well, if you're old, then that means you're wise. So that means that old people do good things and young people don't. Or there's always the other way around. Well, old people are dumb, they're washed up, they're old, and they don't count. Let's bring in some life and some vitality here. Here's some interesting statistics here. There's a guy you probably have heard of him before. His name is George Bernard Shaw. And I know that I think it was Switchfoot quoted this in one of their songs. It said that youth is a wonderful thing. Youth is a wonderful thing. It's such a shame to waste it on young people. And that idea of, like, do young people have wisdom or are they old? Like, what is it? Is it age thing? So here's some interesting statistics, age-wise. At 42, Ted Williams, 42 years old as a baseball player, that is the end of the baseball spectrum, he slammed a home run in his last official time at bat. Okay, so wait, this old guy was able to do something, right? But Mickey Mantle, at age 20, very young professional baseball player, hit 23 home runs in his first full year in the major leagues. So age? Is age an issue here? Golda Meir was 71 when she became the Prime Minister of Israel. And yet William Pitt II was 24 when he became the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Can you imagine that? Age? Yes? No? George Bernard Shaw was 94 when one of his plays was first produced. Took him till he was 94. And yet Mozart was 7 when his first works were published. Is age wisdom? Is that what it is? Then you have Benjamin Franklin. He was a newspaper columnist at 16. He was writing for the newspaper at just 16. And he wrote part of the Constitution when he was 81. And so this idea, is wisdom smarts? Is it just age? Probably not. It's not just, you can be old and be a fool. And I pity the fool. But you can be old and be a fool. You can be young and be wise. You can be young and be a fool, and you can be old and be wise. Like, it's not automatically an age thing. You can be not a very smart person full of knowledge and still be wise. So the question is, what is wisdom? And so in order to answer this very deep question, we went to the source. So I opened ChatGPT, and I asked ChatGPT, I said, what is wisdom? And wherever you stand on the AI, ChatGPT, this is actually a pretty good definition. This is what ChatGPT said. Wisdom is the deep understanding and sound judgment that comes from experience. So age is part of it. Now, maybe age is part of it. You might experience something young. Experience, knowledge, and reflection. It's not just knowing facts, but knowing what to do with them. How to act rightly, especially in complex or uncertain situations. In short, wisdom is applied insight. It helps you not just understand the world, but navigate it with care, purpose, and depth. Like, that's actually a pretty good definition. Because it's not just knowing things. It's not just having experienced things. It's taking all of those things and saying, I'm going to take this, and what am I going to do with it? How am I going to live the right way? How am I going to act the right way? And Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll, says this about wisdom. He said, it's the ability to see with discernment, to view life as God sees it. And we're going to take kind of those two definitions and kind of wrap it together and say, okay, now let's actually go to the source. What does the Bible have to say about wisdom? And the point this week, as we set up what I'm calling what is Wise Up Again, the point is wise up and seek wisdom. Wise up and seek wisdom. We want to pursue wisdom, something that we should pursue. And so we're going to look at Proverbs all month long or all summer long, and look at where we can get wisdom out of that. But before we do that, a lot of setup here. Got some great people following me in the next few weeks. I want to ask this question. What is a proverb? So what is a proverb? Because maybe you have heard of proverbs. Maybe, you know, the classic, an ancient Chinese proverb says, man standing on toilet is high on pot. Like what does it mean? What does it mean to have like this? What is a proverb? What is that idea? And especially when we're talking about a biblical proverb. Because a biblical proverb is kind of different. It's a form of literature, first of all. And so as you read the Bible, you're going to read proverbs differently than you would read Genesis. Genesis is narrative. It's a historical account. You read it because you're reading a story. Where Proverbs are a little bit different. And we talked this, you know, we've done multiple series on Psalms. And a Summer of Psalms, another Summer of Psalms, and yet still another Summer of Psalms, or whatever we called it. But a psalm is a different form. A psalm is like poetry. And so you read poetry differently than you would read narrative. And the Gospels are narrative. So there's all these different forms of literature in the Bible, and we read them differently. But a proverb being a form of literature is the way we have to read it. And so what a proverb is simply a true-to-life statement of observation. A proverb in the Bible is simply a true-to-life statement of observation, meaning the writer saw something and said, you know what, this is true. This seems to be true. This is something that I've observed. When you jump out of a tree, you fall to the ground. Like, that's simply a true-to-life observation. It doesn't mean you'll always fall to the ground, but it's something that was observed. And that's what a proverb is. And of course, just to be clear, all of the Bible, all 66 books are inspired by God. Timothy says that. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's all inspired. So what we have here in the book of Proverbs are authors writing as God is leading them. And Solomon, being one of the wisest people, he asked God for wisdom, one of the wisest people of all time aside from Jesus, wrote a good chunk of the Proverbs, but it was these writings where I see something and I'm going to record it as a statement, which means two things. First of all, that means that they are descriptive of the way things are. So if I look in this room, you know, Jack has a collared shirt. A statement I could make is males wear collared shirts. And that is true, correct? Yes, yeah, that is true. Kirk, also, there's two males. So there you go. My point is now proven. He is a mailman. Thank you. So anyway, that mailman is wearing a collared shirt. But that is a description of something is true. However, that also means it's not necessarily prescriptive of what will be. And so what that means is that to say that males wear collared shirts is a true statement, but it is not a prescriptive thing that anytime you see someone in a collared shirt, that means they're male, or anyone that is male must be wearing a collared shirt. You with me? And so it's a statement where the observer is saying, here's something I see, and this is something we can learn from this. And therefore, it's an observation, but it's descriptive, not prescriptive. And that's going to matter, because there are some proverbs that if you read that, there's some things that are questionable. Like, wait a second, does that mean that's always true? One of the proverbs, popular proverb, train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end he will not depart. Now, that proverb is saying if you raise a kid the right way, they're always going to follow the Lord. And that is a true statement. But sometimes we're like, well, wait a second, my kid didn't always follow Jesus. Does that mean it's not true? I think one thing we could say about that proverb is that we're imperfect humans, so you probably didn't train your kid the right way to begin with, because you're an imperfect human, and we're going to be flawed. But there's all these things where we have to be careful that we don't say, this is a proverb, therefore it must be true. It's not an if-then thing. So anyway, that's what a proverb is. And again, that right now, just kind of keep that in the back of your head, because in a few weeks or as we go through different weeks, you're going to be like, oh, I get it now. That makes sense. It's an observation. It's descriptive of what you see, but not necessarily prescriptive, meaning something has to happen. So now let's actually look at the proverb we're looking at. We're going to turn on the house lights. If you have a paper Bible, you can open to Proverbs chapter 2. If you have the YouVersion app, there are no notes for these 2 months. We're taking a little break from that, but the notes will be back strong in September. But Proverbs 2, and Proverbs is about halfway through your Old Testament. If you scroll down on YouVersion, Proverbs, and we're going to be in chapter 2. And we're looking at this proverb here and kind of opening it up a bit. And this idea of seeking wisdom. So the first thing we see is in verses 2 to 4, it's if you seek wisdom. And so seeking wisdom, going after it, pursuing it. If you seek wisdom, and this is a setup for what's going to be the rest of the proverb. And so the writer is saying, look, my child, in verse 1, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears. Can you read that? Hope you can read that. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. So the writer of this proverb is saying, look, kind of passing some instruction off to his kids. Saying, look, oh, look. If I got to tell you one thing, man, seek wisdom. Go after wisdom. Pursue wisdom. Tune your ears to it. Listen for wisdom. Concentrate on understanding it. Cry out for insight. Like, ask God to help you understand. And we'll get to that in a second. Ask for understanding. Search for wisdom like you would search for a hidden treasure, or as you would for silver. Seek them like you would hidden treasure. He's saying, look, wisdom is important. Wisdom is a big deal. Wisdom matters. So seek wisdom. Knowing, and wisdom is knowing what is right and then doing it. Which goes back to all those things. You can have knowledge, you can have experience, but you know what's right and you actually do something about it. That's applying wisdom. And so this is, guys, look, wisdom. Go for it. Seek it. Find it. It's so important. It's so valuable. And what's really cool about it is that, as we said, you can cry out to God. You can ask for understanding. Over in James chapter 1, James writes this in the New Testament. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you are in a spot where you don't know what to do, if you're not sure what the next step is, what's the right thing, he says, you should ask God. You should ask God. And maybe if God's feeling good that day, he'll give you an answer. But otherwise, he might say, suck it up, kid. Deal. No, that's not what James says. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. And I love that verse. I love that because there are spots where it's like, God, I don't know what's the right thing. I don't know what the right decision is. I don't know where to go with this. And James says, ask God and he'll tell you. The writer of Proverbs says, look, if you're not sure what to do next, if you're not sure how to live, if you're not sure what the big, you know, what who you should marry, if you're not sure, you know, who your friends should be, if you're not sure where you should go next, what job you should take, where you should live, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Pursue it. Go after it. Because once you've got that, and I'm spoiling it a little bit, but once you've got that, you'll have what you need. So the writer says here, if you seek wisdom, then you'll be someone who, and now this passage, I mean, it teaches itself. It's kind of cool. It says, if you seek wisdom and you get it, then you're going to be someone who, first of all, knows God. Someone who knows God. And just to be clear, this is the first thing, because it's important. Because knowing God is the foundation. Knowing God is the foundation of wisdom. You cannot make a wise choice apart from knowing God. Ever. You can make a choice that might work. It might be practical. It might be pragmatic. But if you do not know God and know His heart, you will not make a wise choice. It might look wise, but ultimately, if God is left out of the equation, it will not be. And so the writer of Proverbs, goes on and says here in verse 5, says, then, so once you seek wisdom, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. He's the one that gives it. And this is the verse that the kids are in Ignition are learning this month. For the Lord grants wisdom, or today, from the Lord grants wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to Him. Saying, look, if you seek wisdom, you're going to know God, and God's going to show you. He's going to give you what you need. And He says, you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And this word fear is a literal, like the Hebrew, this was written in Hebrew. It means to be terrified. And I know a few weeks ago we talked about prayer. And we talked about the Wizard of Oz, actually. And we talked about this idea of how do we approach God? Do we approach Him like the all-powerful Oz? Or do we approach God as the man behind the screen that cares about us? And in prayer, that is so true. But at the same time, as I said that week, we don't want to lose the fact that we should be terrified of God. Not because he is mean and awful, but because of how incredible he is. Like, if you met someone that could, I mean, well, you have met someone, like, the fact that God could, in an instant, right now, if God stopped, get this, if not if God killed you, that's, if God stopped sustaining your life, we would all drop dead in an instant. Like, that beat of my heart, that breath that you just took, that's because God has given you that breath. And so everything we have is from him. And so we recognize, like, whoa, God is incredible. God is amazing. And when we start to recognize how good and how great and how powerful and how awesome and how mighty he is, then we realize it's probably not necessary. Then we will realize who he is, because he is so great, because he is so amazing, because he is so powerful. And when you get that, then you'll be like, okay, wait a second. Now I want my decisions to be based on who this God is and knowing God, because God's the one that's going to give us the wisdom. Over in Proverbs 9:10, we looked at this a couple years ago as well. The writer of Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And what he's saying here is that this isn't like the beginning in terms of like, that's, well, once you feel the Lord, fear of the Lord, then maybe you'll get wisdom. This is, the word means foundation. This is the first step that if we don't fear God, if we don't know God, then the rest doesn't matter. Then you're not going to have true wisdom. This is the foundation, the platform that everything else is built on. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the writer of Proverbs here says, if you seek wisdom, then you'll be someone who knows God. Knows God. So why don't we want, why not pursue this thing so that we can get to know God better? Because that's the foundation. You'll understand him, you'll recognize him and his greatness, and then you'll realize that honoring him is the greatest goal. And get this, if honoring God is your greatest goal, the decisions we make are easier. And that almost sounds weird, but if your goal is to say, how am I going to honor God in this? It makes our decisions easier sometimes. Because it takes us out of the equation. It takes someone else out of the equation. And it becomes, how can I honor God in this? The decision sometimes gets clearer. And I know we talked about this in our prime group a couple of weeks ago, too. You know, the question would be, what would a wise person do in this situation? Or what would someone that wants to honor God do in this situation? Because sometimes in the mirror, we don't see it. But if you were to say, hey, if I was asking a wise person, how would you honor God in this situation? What would they say? And a lot of times, it wouldn't have anything to do with ourselves. It would have everything to do with honoring God. So, if you seek wisdom, then you'll be someone who knows God. And just as a side note, too, I wrote this in my notes. You'll be someone who knows God, not necessarily knowing the solution, but you'll know God. And knowing God will lead to that solution. So that God isn't like a means to be like, oh, I guess I'll get to know God. Maybe I'll throw out a prayer. Maybe I'll show up at church one Sunday, and then God will give me the answer. Like, no, that's not knowing God. That's just, I don't know, doing some token thing. So anyway, you'll be someone who knows God. The second thing is you'll be someone who goes the right way. You'll be someone who goes the right way. And then the writer goes on and says here in verse 9 to 11, if you seek wisdom, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Like, wouldn't it be nice to know that wise choices? Like, what's that decision that you've made? And you're like, man, if I could undo anything, I would undo that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't gone there. I wish I hadn't made that decision. We have those moments. And the writer of Proverbs is saying, look, you seek wisdom, and wise choices are going to watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. You will know the right way to go. You will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you'll find the right way to go. When you have wisdom, you'll know which is the right direction. Another way to put it would be, if you have wisdom, God will direct your paths. And I believe there's a proverb about that. Something about trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And right now, Chris is panicking. But I'm stopping there, because that is what Chris is teaching next week. So you can come back next week and learn about what is this passage about, directing your paths, trusting God to guide us in our next step. But that's what the writer here is saying in Proverbs 2. Like, look, if you seek wisdom, if you get wisdom, you're going to know which way to go. You're going to know the right way. You're going to be someone who goes the right way. So if you seek wisdom, you'll be someone who knows God, goes the right way, and then you'll be someone who chose, work with me here, the right friends. You'll be someone who chose the right friends. Now Kirk's getting nervous. Because the writer goes on in verse 12 and says, if you seek wisdom, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. And the writer's saying here is that if you seek wisdom, if you get that, then you're going to avoid people that are going to take you in the wrong direction. You're going to avoid people that are going to trip you up, that are going to mess you up. You're going to learn. I believe there's a proverb that says, walk with the wise and grow wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because in 2 weeks, Kirk is teaching that passage. And by the way, I did not plan this. I was just studying it this week. I'm like, this breaks down kind of cool. But Kirk's going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, about what does it look like to choose the right friends? What does it look like to avoid evil people who are just going to lead you in a path that's going to mess you up? Because wisdom will help you with that. So if you seek wisdom, then you'll be someone who knows God, who goes the right way, who chose the right friends. And then finally, then you'll be someone who proposes to the right person. Propose to the right person. Just, you know, work with me here. And this is what the proverb goes on to say in verse 16. It says, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It's the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of light. And as you know, we teach the same things to kids in Ignition as we teach them here. So upstairs, Kendra is teaching not this part of the passage. So she's not. She's just doing the first part about seeking wisdom, and that God will grant you that. But this idea of honoring your marriage and recognizing what it takes to have a strong marriage. And there are so many proverbs about avoiding the promiscuous woman, the immoral woman. Stay away from the adulterers, the adulterer. Another way you could put it is that, and there's a proverb that says, rejoice in your spouse. And in 3 weeks, Justin will be teaching about that. And temperature is going to go up a little bit more than it is right now. But we're teaching the Bible. I'm going to talk about what does it look like to rejoice in the wife of your youth. And if you want to look at that passage and go, whoa, I got to be here that Sunday. Hey, do it. Do it. You can read the rest of it. It's in the Bible, folks. But we're also not going to make it, you know, X-rated. So just don't sweat that. But that whole idea, like if you choose wisdom, you'll understand how to grow a marriage. You're going to recognize and respect the marriage you have now, or if you're not married, the marriage you will have. Because you're making the right choices. You're making the wise choices about the right person. And of course, if you did the previous thing there, next slide for me. If you chose the right friends, then you'll probably have a better pool, if you will, to draw from to propose to the right person. But the writer of Proverbs is saying, look, guys, wisdom is so good. And I don't want to say complain. I don't think complain is the right word. We fret. We worry about, what do I do? How do I do this next? And the writer of Proverbs is saying, look, just seek wisdom. seek God. And the first part of that is knowing God. Knowing God. Say, what does it look like to glorify God? How can I honor God in this situation? And then you're going to go the right way and choose the right chose. You'll be one who chose the right friends. And you'll be someone who proposes to the right person. Which ends with this statement. Because wisdom is worth it. Like, and how can we even say this? I think I'm 48. Or I'm 49. 48 or 49. I lived in a world, as some of you did, where Google did not exist. And before that, you know, you had Netscape Navigator, and you could search in the search bar, but that really did nothing for you. And before that, there was nothing. And so, like, in order to answer a question, you had to think about it. You had to go to this place that's called a, say it with me, library. It's a library. There's two R's in there. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of these things, but they have all these things called books. Books in them. And you would go to the books, and you could usually use your nose and find what were called the encyclopedias. And you'd be like, okay, I can smell the really, really musty Encyclopedia Britannica. And if you were like, did anybody own them? Did anybody own it? Did you really? Wow, crazy. They're like $1 billion. You could buy all 79,000 volumes of them. But you go to the library and you have to look it up and you have to say, okay, well, what do I learn? And you would write research papers that way. And all that to say, like, wisdom is something I think of all of us, even with our, and you could never look it up, obviously, in an encyclopedia, who's the right person for me to marry? I've got this big decision in my job. Do I take the promotion or not? You're not going to find that under P for promotion or J for job. And so this idea of what if there was a source that could show us how to make right choices? And the source is wisdom. And we need to seek wisdom, and we seek it by knowing God. Because then at the end, the writer says, because wisdom is worth it, in verse 20 to 22, just says, so follow the steps of the good and stay on the paths of the righteous. For only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted. Now, this was written to the Jewish people that had their own actual land. We've called it the Promised Land. We did a whole series a few months ago called Stuck, where we looked at how they got to the Promised Land. And so this was a very direct promise that if you were not seeking wisdom, therefore you were not knowing God, therefore you were not honoring God. God was going to remove the Israelites from their land. And of course, that ended up happening. And then they were exiled for 70 years and eventually were able to turn to the land. But a general principle that we can derive from this is for us is that seeking wisdom is going to make life better. It's going to make life better. It's not going to make it easier necessarily. It might make decision making easier. Because we're not trying to think through all the emotions of it. We're not trying to think through hurt feelings. We're not trying to think through the materialism or the money of a decision. We're looking at how can I honor God? Is this the wise thing to do? And that's what Proverbs are all about. Seeking wisdom. And when you seek, if you seek wisdom, you'll be someone that knows God because that's the foundation. Someone who goes the right way. You know which way to go. Someone who chose the right friends, you will surround yourself with people that help you grow closer. And again, this doesn't mean, and Kirk will talk about this, it doesn't mean we don't have friends that don't know Jesus. But if the people that are in your close circle, the people that are influencing your life, if they're not following Jesus, that's a dangerous path. And wisdom will help you choose the right friends, and wisdom will help you know how to propose to the right person. Or if you've already proposed and you're married, guess what? You're married to the right person because you're married. And what does that look like? What does that look like to grow in that? Because wisdom is worth it. So we are to wise up and seek wisdom. And again, this is a setup for the next 7 weeks after today. If I can get to where my notes are. I just crashed it, which I thought was going to happen. Now it's sending an error report. Thank you. I'll get there. But I wanted to, I said, why should we seek wisdom? Because wisdom is worth it. So what makes wisdom worth it? Why is wisdom worth seeking? And these are some very practical things that I think are very helpful for us to know when it comes to wisdom. The first thing, why is wisdom worth it? Because wisdom is necessary in the world. Wisdom is necessary in the world. It's something that we need. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He says to the church, followers of Jesus, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So Paul says, look, if we use wisdom, it will help us navigate the world. It'll help us navigate because as a follower of Jesus, everything else about this world is wanting to drive us away from him, to pull us away from him. And so therefore, Paul says, look, be careful how you live, because we're in a world that on its own is going to pull you away from Jesus. You're drifting in a direction away from him if you just drift. So you need to live not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. And then he says, therefore, don't be a fool, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is the Lord's will? The Lord's will is that you seek wisdom, that you make decisions that are wise, that you honor him in everything. And again, a really good question when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to a hard decision is, what is the wise thing to do? Because a lot of times here, and we've talked about this before, sometimes the decision isn't this is right and this is wrong. You know, should I got a free evening. Should I go on a date with my wife or should I go find a prostitute? Like, that's a pretty obvious answer. But there are decisions that are like, well, this is good and this is good. And so what do we do? And so sometimes it's just, what's the wise thing to do? And wisdom comes back to how can I glorify God? How can I honor God in this? And so Paul says we need wisdom because the world is going to pull us away. And we actually talked about this in two different series. We did a series called Objects in the Mirror Appear Closer Than They Are. And we talked about how our decisions today affect the story that you're going to tell tomorrow. The story in the rear view is how we worded it that day. And think about it. You are right now living as a result of your decisions. And someday the decisions you're making now are going to be the story you tell. And so you need to say, okay, if this world is trying to keep me away from Jesus, if this world is because these days are evil, how can I grow in my relationship with Jesus? How can I make wise choices? Because someday you're going to have to tell a story about the decision you made today. And what kind of story do you want to tell? And that's the question. A couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was last week, and we'll tell you more about this later, but George Anderson, the guy that mortgaged this property for us so we could be here, he passed away a couple of weeks ago, and his funeral was last weekend. And I attended, and it was beautiful just hearing the stories of how God had used him. And they had a sharing time, so I actually stood up and shared about, you know, the legacy that he has, because we have people coming to Jesus and growing their relationship with Christ because this guy said, yeah, you know, it's kind of a crazy idea, but sure, let's turn a garage into a church. And again, he financed it for us. He did so much for us. But I don't know about, and that was a really cool funeral. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a funeral that's kind of the other end of the spectrum, where people are like, I was really good at picking out shirts. That, yeah, you know, where they have a sharing time. Share how this person is meant to you, what is meant to you, and it's just crickets. And that's just kind of the question. That's wisdom. Wisdom says, are the decisions you're making today, when you get down to the end of your life, what are the stories you're going to tell or people are going to tell about you? Anyway, so wisdom is necessary in the world. The second thing about wisdom is that wisdom is obedience to the word. Wisdom is obedience to the word. So being wise means I'm going to obey God. And there's this passage in Matthew chapter 7 that you've probably heard many, many times. Jesus says, well, before we get to this, if you grew up in church, you probably sang a song that says, wise man built his house upon the rock, house upon the rock, and it goes this whole thing, you know. And I was always taught growing up that the rock was Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And we have church, and Jesus is the rock. He is the rock. He is the foundation. But that's not what this verse is about. This verse isn't about Jesus. So all those Sunday school songs we may have sung are not exactly accurate theologically. Because this isn't about building your life on Jesus. Look what it says. Jesus is saying this, by the way, so I can say that he wasn't talking about himself. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. So it's obedience. It's doing what God has told us to do. Anyone who listens to my teaching and following it is, and you probably can't read it because of that blur that I got going on there, but so anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Obedience is wisdom. Doing what God says to do. Following and obeying his word is wisdom. He says they're wise. What are they wise like? Well, they're like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. And again, the rock isn't Jesus. It's obeying the word of God. Listens to my teaching and does it, he says. He says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. So, if you're not obeying God, you're a dang fool. We're fools when we don't obey God. It says they're a fool, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains come and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And I fully intend to put this into practice next week at the beach. And I've done this before. We've built sandcastles. And like, all it takes is one wave, and it's just like, whoosh, whoosh, and it's gone. It's not even like a lump. It's just gone. And Jesus is saying, look, what's wisdom? Wisdom is obeying. It's listening to my word and doing it. That's wisdom. Hearing it and not doing a thing about it. Knowing and not doing it. Again, wisdom isn't knowledge. It's not knowing. It's doing something with it. That is what wisdom is. And then finally, why is wisdom worth it? Because wisdom shares hope for the world. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul writes this to the church in Colossae in verses 5 to 6. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers. And make the most of every opportunity. He says, you're going to be around people that don't know Jesus. Be wise in how you interact with them. Make the most of every opportunity. That might be the only chance that they have to see Jesus because of Jesus in you. He goes on and says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you might have the right response for everyone. Other translations say, full of grace and seasoned with salt. And what is Paul saying? Paul's saying, look, there are people that need Jesus. And there are a whole lot of people that follow Jesus that make it a lot harder for other people to follow Jesus. There are a lot of Christians that are jerks. And all they're doing, and Jesus said this about the Pharisees, all you're doing is making them twice the sons of hell that you are. You're actually drawing them away from Jesus. And Paul is saying, look, enough, 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 enough. This world needs Jesus. You need to be wise in how you interact with the people around you that don't know Jesus. Making the most of the opportunity. If someone says, hey, can we talk? Talk to them. If there's a hard moment, be there for them. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. So that you'll have the right response for everyone. Like, that's wisdom. We talked about this in the Ampersand series, where we looked at this and that, the tension between this and that. And a couple of the things we talked about, what is the difference between extending grace and speaking truth? And you can go and find that on the slide afterwards here or on our website. But sometimes we need to extend grace, and sometimes we need to say the truth. Because, like, I've seen this. I'm sure you've seen this too before. Like, people are like, we're afraid. I know this kind of came up in some of our discussion in our prime group two weeks ago. You know, why don't we speak out and tell people about Jesus? Because we're afraid. And in essence, that fear of them rejecting us is kind of like us saying, well, just go to hell because I'd rather be comfortable. I mean, on a very base level, And it's hard. But sometimes we need to say, like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And if you get offended, at least I told you about something that's hope. And that's why Paul says, be gracious and attractive. Don't be obnoxious and confrontational. You're not going to picket somebody's way to Jesus. You're not going to throw a Facebook post out and get people to turn to Jesus because of how you talk about the world. Just be wise. This world needs Jesus, so be wise in the way you act. Because wisdom shares the hope that we have for the world. So that's why wisdom's worth it. That's why we need to seek wisdom. The point is, wise up and seek wisdom. Because wisdom is going to show us what to do. And as we're going to see over the next 7 weeks, a piece of these Proverbs, we'll probably be doing wise up again, or even again, or more and more again, because there's a lot of Proverbs. But that's what we're going to be talking about, is what does it look like to seek wisdom? What does it look like to say, okay, this isn't necessarily an issue of right and wrong. Right and wrong should be obvious, and maybe they're not, but wisdom will help us see that. And sometimes it's just an issue between right and right. What is the right path? And wisdom says, how can I honor God in this? How can I glorify Him? How can I recognize and fear Him and make sure He is the most important? And then there's benefits, as we talked about. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these Proverbs and just kind of all over the place observations on life. And I thank you that you chose to include them in your word. And that we have the opportunity to learn from them. That we have the opportunity to grow and observe the things that were observed by these writers and learn from them. And I pray that you would help us to do that. God, I pray that we would seek wisdom, and knowing that the foundation of seeking wisdom is knowing you, that you would be the first step. And that when we come across difficult decisions, whether they're little decisions or life-altering decisions, help us to know you and then seek how we can glorify you in that decision, that we would choose the wise thing to do. Thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to learn and read your word. And I pray that we wouldn't just be readers and knowers, but that we would be doers, that we would be wise people that put your word into practice in obedience to you. God, I pray for the rest of this summer. I pray for these great guys that are going to be opening your word in the next few weeks. Use them to speak your truth through them, and open everyone here, open our hearts to hear what you have to say and speak through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.